Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today, would you remain standing as I introduce the gift that God has sent us? Reverend Dominic Yeo is the chairman of the World Assemblies of God Fellowship, executive committee member of the Pentecostal World Fellowship, and the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God Singapore. Reverend Yeo served as the lead pastor of Trinity Christian Center for 18 years before handing over the fellowship leadership to a son of the house, Reverend Gerald Tan, to serve the global church. Under Reverend Yeo's leadership, Trinity expanded her global impact, planted regional centers in Australia, Indonesia, Thailand, and Trinity grew to be a 10,000-member church. Reverend Yeo continues to serve as an ambassador at large of Trinity Christian Center, representing the church to build and to grow ministries worldwide. Having been dramatically transformed by God in his youth, he carries the heart of God and has tremendous, relentless belief in people to fulfill their God-given destiny. Known for his visionary and strategic leadership, he trains and provides consultation to churches such as us, helping them to experience transformation and break into new levels of growth. He's a man who walks closely with God and delivers God's Kairos word wherever he goes. He strongly believes in the saying that you never walk alone. Would you welcome today Reverend Dominic Yeo?
Come on, let's give Jesus the loudest cheer. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for Pickering Pentecostal Church. I speak your blessings to right now fall upon this body. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug somebody and you may be seated. I want to thank Pastor Marie for this opportunity to minister to you this morning. I'm also very surprised by General Superintendent David Wells for that email. What a blessing. I still hold credentials with the PAOC on the Western Conference because I used to pastor in Vancouver, BC. You know, this month is actually Honor Pastors Month. How many of you know that? No, some of you, the rest of you are clueless, but it's okay. Years ago I started, I did not know that the month of October was celebrated in the U.S. to honor pastors because they did a statistics and in the Barna Pew Research, they discovered that, in the Barna Research and in the Pew Research Center, they found out that there are pastors that are leaving the ministry every month. Every month, there are pastors that are burnout, pastors that, you know, pastors are shepherds, and shepherds get a lot of sheep bites, and a lot of times they experience depression, and so they leave the ministry. I know Pastor Marie didn't tell me to say this, but I think it's very important in line with scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, it tells us to respect or to honor or to appreciate those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. And I think it's important this morning, before I even go into the Word of God, that we take this time to also pray for all of your pastors. So I'm going to ask the pastors in Pickering Pentecostal Church to stand. If you are here, please stand. That's right, Rob, Ruby. Yes, thank you. And where's Dennis?
Online.
Okay, he's online. And church, I'd like us to pray for them. I don't know about the tradition here in Canada, because I left BC in 95, and since then I haven't been back to BC, but the only time I came back to Canada was to be in Montreal. And so I'm ministering to the French-speaking churches. In fact, in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be there. But I think it's very important for us this morning to take a little bit of time from my sermon to just honor our pastors. And I want to encourage you, to love your pastors. They work among you. They are there for birth, to marry you, and to bury you at the same time. You know. And it is a thankless job. It's a job that sometimes gets misunderstood. While they may have good intentions, but sometimes it's not translated in a way that you as the people of God feels comfortable. Yeah, I do not know your history. I come without history. I met Pastor Marie at a Pentecostal World Conference a few years ago in Calgary, and we kind of just met on stage, and I just sense a draw to her. And so I invited her to Singapore, and she came and ministered for our prayer conference. Our church loves her, love her to bits. I mean, we just simply enjoy her. One of the best things that I can say to her is that she is an authentic minister. What you see on stage is what you see in a private. And I so appreciate that, because sometimes we have preachers who are two-faced, one face at home in a private, and then the other is public. But I can tell you, Pastor Marie is somebody who's extremely authentic, and we were so blessed by her. And then we invited her, was it last year? But I wasn't there. Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't host you because I travel heaps. I only minister to my congregation 3 weekends a year. Yeah, just let that thought sink. Many pastors of churches would dominate the pulpit, but I don't. I only preach 3 weekends a year. We have an apostolic team of pastoral staff, 87 of them that would preach. My gift, I believe, is to the nations of the world, to pastors. But this morning, I do want to appreciate your pastoral staff that have so labored among us. And so I'd like us to just stand, stretch out your hands. And on this very special month, I know the month is coming to an end, so we can still savage the days before the end of the month to love our pastors, to pray for them, take them out for a meal, buy them some beautiful gifts, or sow into them. For sowing into us. Amen. There's so many ways that we should be blessing them. Put down your hands for a moment. Look at me. How many of you want God to bless you? Really, really? No, put down your hand. Some of you don't understand what I'm saying. How many of you truly want God to bless you and shower you with so much that it's overwhelming? Let me see your hand. Do you know one of the main keys of God showering His blessings over you is when you learn to bless the shepherds that God has placed among you. The reason why you don't walk in a blessing, that's not my sermon today, I could preach that in a moment's time too. The reason why you don't walk in a blessing is because you have failed to love that which God has given to us. And that's why the Bible says, husband, if you don't love your wife, your prayers will never be answered. Hello? It's not my word, it's found in the scripture. You don't like it, tear that portion of the scripture. Yeah. And in the same fashion, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, 13, 14 onwards, when you read it, it is a very clear mandate from heaven. You want a blessing over your life, bless your ministers. So stretch out your hands right now and bless them right now. Father, I want to thank you for this pastoral team that you have given to Pickering Pentecostal Church, including their children's pastors and their adult pastors, the pastors that work among the seniors that is not here today. We speak your blessings upon each and every one of this. We bless them this day with our prayer that they will always be in good health. We bless them this day that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will always increase in their life. We bless them this day that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be centered in their life so that they will always walk with a quiet confidence in you. And so, Father, we bless them that they will always have an open heaven so that they will always walk into the tomorrows with the blessings that you have in store for them. So on this very special day, we honor them as you shower your richest blessing upon them right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to minister a sermon right now entitled Stepping Into Fulfillment. Stepping Into Fulfillment. And this has nothing to do with my book. If you have gotten my book, I am not preaching from it this morning. I do sense this morning as I was having breakfast. And thank you, Pastor Marie and the team. They have fed us so well that I think I've put on a couple of kilograms. And I need to shed those by the time I get back home. I'm on a 12 weeks ministry trip, and I'm never home in October. It's my birthday month, and so from day one in the 38 years of my ministry, I've given the month of October outside of Singapore. Yeah, and so and that's my way of sowing to the Lord as well. Matthew chapter 14, beginning verse 15 to 21. That day, as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send them to the villages that they may buy themselves something to eat." Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Turn to the person beside you and tell them, "You give them something to eat." All right, verse 17. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they said. "Bring them here to me," Jesus said. Verse 19. Having the people sat down on the grass, Jesus takes the 5 loaves and fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaf and he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. And the numbers that ate was 5,000 men besides women and children. Father, bless the reading of your word. We thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. And Father, in the next few moments, bring an impartation of truth and life into every man and woman. I thank you, Father, that this is a new day, and may this day be the beginning of the rest of their life. So, Father, do something new, do something powerful, do something marvelous, do something wonderful with our life today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the world has its own standards and definition for success. How many of you understand that? Yeah. What is success? Turn to the person beside you and ask them, what is success? Is success about money? And that's how the world evaluates. They look at your net worth. And based on your net worth, you are probably successful in their eyes. Besides financial net worth, they also look at the kind of cars you have. And you know, as we were coming out from the hotel this morning, I saw the McLaren that was just parked there. I mean, yeah. And if you drive a McLaren, you must be pretty good. You must have done pretty well. So that's the word. That's the way the world would define success. Or they sometimes define success with where you stay. I don't know about Canada, but I know in Australia, in a certain neighborhood, if you're living in that particular neighborhood, which is of high social standing, the tax there is pretty high. Yeah. Is it the same here? All right. Yeah, so where you live and the type of dwelling would determine success, isn't it? The world will also look at sometimes the abbreviation that goes behind your name. Yeah, and that's the reason why people like, in, I don't know about today, but I know when I was growing up, people used to just flash out all their name cards. And the moment you receive the name cards, you just don't look at their names. You look at what follows their names. And then the more abbreviation, oh, this guy is not just learned, but must be somebody who is successful. And that's how the world measures success. But how does God measure success? I want to submit to you there are three ways that God measures success. Number one, when we walk in the pleasure of the Father. When you and I live and walk under the pleasure of God the Father, as stated in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, I want you to know that's God's way of success. When you have the smile of the Father upon your life. When God looks at you and He is pleased with you. And that's why I remember there's a portion of Scripture that when Jesus was baptized, heavens opened and a voice from heaven thundered forth. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Having the pleasure of God in your life releases favor into your life. And that's how we should be defining success. Success is living under the pleasure of God. Secondly, success is doing the will of the Father. First Thessalonians, you know, people always ask me, what's God's will for my life? How many of you, at one point in your life, you want to know God's will? How many of you want to know God's will? Wave at me. Actually, God's will is very simple. It's very simple. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. Yeah. What is it? Rejoice forever. Pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Yeah. That's God's will. So if you want to experience success where God has defined it, number one, is experience the pleasure of the Father. Number two, living under the will of God, which means whatever happens, whatever happens in your life, you always rejoice. You pray without ceasing. And you give thanks for everything. But the third is what I want to deal with today, and that is living a life of destiny and fulfillment. Because I believe living a life of destiny and fulfillment is very important. When you and I come to know Jesus Christ, we are not just salvaged from the fiery pits of hell. But Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And the abundant life must be translated beyond the stuff that you can have. The abundant life must be translated as one who lived out their destiny and fulfillment. Do you know that I often walk into a columbarium or sometimes goes to the cemetery. You know, I'm kind of morbid, so just excuse me for a moment, because in Trinity, in my home church, I always talk about my death, you know, because I'm so aware of my mortality, because death can strike us anytime, right? But I want to make sure that when I die, the eulogies that will be spoken of me will be about a man who is passionate, a man who lived his life for Christ, a man who is calling the world, the church world, the Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada to plant 1 million churches before 2033. Yeah. That's our vision. By the way, you are part of PAOC. So, yeah. So I'm addressing you this morning. Let's go plant 1 million churches and then, you know, let the task be done. Yeah, we believe that it can be done. It's a huge, ambitious, audacious goal. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will. But I want it to be said of me that this is a passionate man for Jesus who lived his life for Jesus. Would it be horrible at your funeral that somebody say, he's a jolly good fella. That's the best they can say of you. It will be horrific, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know whether that horrific eulogy will cause you to resurrect back to life. But it will be too late. So the question here is, how can you and I step into God's fulfillment for our life? And I want to share very quickly 4 points how you and I can step into fulfillment. Number one. Oh, and by the way, for those of you that stay up all night watching the NHL, you know, where New York Rangers won the game. I didn't watch. I just heard about it. You know, that's my team. You know, I'm sorry. I don't support the Maple Leaf. Yeah. Oh, they won in overtime. How do we step into fulfillment? You know, what's the key? What are some keys? Number one, if you want to step into fulfillment, then you must not walk in the natural, but you must learn to walk in the supernatural. You must learn never to walk in the natural, but always to walk in the supernatural. Do you know that as a believer, there are 2 sets of laws available to you right now? To everyone who do not know Jesus Christ, they only live by 1 law, and that's called the natural law. The natural law, take for instance, like the law of gravity tells me that when I release my hand from this wallet, what happens to the wallet? It falls because of the law of gravity. And humankind requires natural laws so that we can govern ourselves. It's important that we have natural laws. But as a man and a woman who has been born of the Spirit into the marvelous light of God, we now have access to us supernatural laws. And when you and I can access the supernatural law, that's where we experience the miracles of heaven that God is waiting to release into your life. Can someone say amen? In this episode, I first of all need to make a couple of notations. This is not the feeding of 5,000. Some of you, oops. Yes, the Bible translators noted that it was the feeding of 5,000, correct? Maybe I should preach to this side. Yes, yes. If you look at verse 21, and verse 21 of Matthew chapter 14 tells us, and the numbers that ate was 5,000 men. And then notice the word, besides women and children. So if 5,000 men were present, and every man brought his wife, because I brought my wife here for service today, it's the feeding of 10,000. And if every man brought his wife and they brought their children, they brought the 2 kids, it's a feeding of 20,000. Yeah, we're getting our math correct. I'm glad in the school they're still teaching mathematics. If every man brought his wife and the wife brought 2 kids and the kids brought the dogs and cats, it's a feeding of mucho, mucho, mucho más. Comprende? Sí. So you have to understand the notation here of this context of the miracle here is the feeding of the thousands. And in this feeding of the thousand, God is revealing the essence of fulfillment that can happen in one's life. By the way, just for curiosity, for biblical trivia, I do want you to know this is the only miracle recorded in Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John. Yeah. It's kind of incredulous, right, that Jesus performed lots of miracles and they are recorded in the scripture, except that this is the only miracle recorded in Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John. So it is of great importance of why this scripture or this miracle is placed in the scripture. So, because if when you study this, you discover that the disciples, while they have been walking with Jesus for some time now, they were still operating in the natural. How do I know? Well, the clues are there. They came to Jesus and said, "Master, this is a remote place. It's already getting late." You see, the disciples were living in the natural, operating in the natural, and therefore they perceive in the natural. I reckon they couldn't find a Starbucks around, so this must be a remote place. And then they reckon that, "Hey, Master, even if we could have all the produce, I mean, we don't have time to cook." How many of you cook? All right, most of the ladies. Men, let me help you understand something. It takes mucho tiempo for them to cook, to prepare the meal. But you know what? When we eat, it takes 25 minutes. Yeah, yesterday I was asking the folks, how long do you eat? And some says, you know, how long do you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And I mean, the poll was shocking for me because most of the guys were saying 45 minutes. Yeah, 5:30, you know, the kind of stuff. Because they eat really quick. And I find it quite distressed because I cook, not my wife. I love to cook. She has no right to be in my kitchen. Yeah. She knows that she don't step into my kitchen. She knows that she doesn't do grocery because I want to do the grocery. I want to look at the fish, touch the fish and the chicken and all. Yeah. So I learned one thing. I can take a long time to cook. But you know what? I cannot believe that they consume the food rather quickly. So the disciples reckoned that day as they figured it among themselves that, "Master, even if we have time, we don't have time to cook." I mean, for the sheer thousands, I mean, yeah, even if just flour and water, I mean, we have to, you know, how much making of the dough and the pita bread can we make? It wouldn't be fast enough. You see, the Bible says, as evening was approaching, which means it is now coming into the night hours, coming into dinner time. They said that from a point of the natural. Do you understand? It is a factual statement. My wife and I have been there in Israel. We've been at the site, supposedly, the site where Jesus fed the thousands. And when I look at that site, when I pan my eyes all across the area, truly, it is a remote place. There is no Starbucks, no Kentucky Fried Chicken, no Dairy Queen as well. Yeah. It is a remote place. So when you start living in the facts of life, in the realities of life, in the natural, your response will always be in the natural. But if you are ever going to step out from the natural law into the supernatural law so that you can step into fulfillment, you must now perceive the world from a different perspective. You see, in this scripture, didn't it occur to you that Jesus was with the disciples? Think about it. Jesus was with the disciples. And if Jesus is there, how can it be a remote place? But you see, a lot of times we forget that Christ is with us. So when circumstances, situation hits our life, while you are trying to become a man and a woman of destiny, I mean, we are shocked and we are impacted by the circumstances of life. And of course, by some of our dumb mistakes decisions that we make. And then because of that, we're living by the facts. You see, the facts of life and the truth of life is two very different things. Yeah. How many of you know there's a big difference between a fact and a truth? Yeah. Let me illustrate this to you. The fact is your bank account's running low. And the creditors are after you. That's a fact, isn't it? How many of you have huge mortgages you're trying to meet? Let me see your hand. No, don't raise your hands. But what's the truth? The truth is God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. The fact is that the doctor has given you a prognosis of cancer. But what's the truth? He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When I was about 18, 19 years old, Is there any doctors here? Any medical doctors here? Okay, there is somebody here. You know, when I was about 18, 19 years old, it's kind of strange that I was one of the one in 100 million to have contracted colon cancer. Colon cancer does not strike the youngest of people. You know, see, in Trinity, we don't have old people. We have young, younger, youngest. All right, so colon cancer normally hit the young people, but not the youngest people. And at that age, I went from this weight, which is about 75 kilograms, I went down to under 45 kilograms in 3 months. And in 3 months, I was passing out a lot of blood. And I checked myself into the hospital. They ran a battery of tests. And then I was called back to the hospital. And I was given the prognosis, you have cancer of the colon. And they began to talk to me that you are one in a few hundred million to be contracting colon cancer. You see, colon cancer is a result of what you put into your body. What you are ingesting and digesting and through that, you know. And so I was stunned. And so they said, we have to operate on you. And I said, wait a minute. Let me go to church. And the doctor said, no, we will have to do this now. I said, no, you are not touching me. So I signed an indemnity form and went to church. I went to church and I told the pastor, the first pastor that I met, and I said to her, Pastor, could you pray for me? I just came from the hospital. She says, what's wrong with you? I said, I had colon cancer. And she said, go back to the hospital. I said, wait a minute. I just want to receive prayer and then I'll decide about the hospital. Then she gave me a whole lecture about God giving us doctors. And I said, I got it. You know, medical science is something that God has given to us. And through medical research and all that, yes, that's where doctors are important for us. I don't discount that, but can you just pray for me? And so she laid hands and it was the shortest prayer that I have heard in my entire life. Lord, touch Dominic. In Jesus' name, now go back to the hospital. I didn't go back to the hospital not because I did not believe that God has given us doctors. But at that moment, as she was praying for me, something welled up on the inside of me. And I clearly heard the voice of God. And I clearly sensed the Lord was telling me to put my trust in Him. And I sensed at that moment as I said thank you to my pastor and I was making my way, as I made my way back home, because I wasn't intending to go to the hospital just yet. You know, even if I wanted to go to the hospital, I needed to pack my stuff. So I was on my way home. So as I was on my way home, I began to talk to the Lord and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm only 18, 19 years old. I have a great life ahead of me. But if you want me to be with you for eternity, it's okay. But let me just say, I have a zing and a zest for life. You know, there's stuff that I want to do. You know, stuff that I want to accomplish. And then I just had a sense that, Dom, move into the supernatural. Step into the truth of God. Don't look at the world from the natural. You see, the disciples were looking at it from the natural. What you see in the natural, all right, will begin to frame what it is for you. So if you want to step into fulfillment, then we have to move from the natural into the supernatural. Are you hearing me? Even in the concept of time, time is a fact, isn't it? Time is a reality. But there are two concepts of time. In fact, three. But for this morning, we'll just deal with two concepts. There's a concept of the chronos, which is the natural time clock. That's where we have chronology. But there is the kairos. And kairos is defined as the God-opportune moment. And in the chronos, it's always the kairos. It's not the other way around. As you live in the chronos of your life, there are the kairos in your life. Are you hearing me? So it's very important that if you want to step into fulfillment, you learn to sense the kairos in the chronos of life. And so as you are living in the chronos of life, you sense a kairos, you step into it. And that's when the miracle happens. That's when you step into your destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? Some of you are like, Pastor Dom, this is too deep for me. It's like deep colors to deep. Now, let me share with you an illustration. This happened many times for me. I was in Guatemala for a massive prayer intercession meeting, and all I had in my wallet were US dollars, not mine, but I took it from the church. See, in those days, when I travel, I would do a drawdown from the church so that all my expenses, I could accumulate them and then bring it back to the church for accounting. So in Guatemala, there were easily 8,000 of us in the conference center. And I was sitting like right where the sister is, the third row, the sister in pink. That's where I was sitting. And the pastor came up and he says, "It's offering time." And the Guatemalan went, "Wow." You know, just when Pastor Marie says it's offering time, none of you went crazy. But in Guatemala, everybody went crazy. They were loco. Yeah! And the music came up, and the ashes all came out. And there were many ashes, not one, not two, not ten. We're talking about hundreds of ashes carrying a sack. Now, I remember the sack. Because when I saw those sacks that they were carrying, I remember when I was a young little boy at this height, we used to race in a sack. How many of you remember? Yeah? But they were carrying the sack. And the Guatemalan went crazy. They were singing. Everybody stood. And they started falling out to the aisle. I was talking to the Lord. "Lord, this ain't my money. It belongs to the church." That's a fact. That's a reality. That's a natural law. This is not my money. I don't have nothing to give. Nada. Zilt. And God said, "No, son, you will give everything." I said, "No, Lord." In fact, I wanted to say, "Is there another Lord?" But I resisted coming out. But you know what? The sea of humanity moved me. Because the Guatemalans were pushing, and I was being pushed out. I didn't want to go out. And next thing I knew, I was being pushed forward. And as I was coming forward, as the line was making its way to the hundreds of ushers, they were all smiling, and I could see folks throwing their watches, their wallets, they were taking out shoes, the jewelry, and their clothes. Yeah, it's crazy in Guatemala. Don't go there if you don't want to give. Any Guatemalans here? Behind the usher with a sack is another usher with a cloth, a big cloth. So in case you strip, they just cover you. Yeah, it's true. So by the time I came out to the front, he said, "Hola," I like, "Hola, ¿cómo está? Bien." Then he shakes the sack and I'm like, "Okay, God." God says, "Everything, son, everything." So in obedience, I took the whole wedge of US dollar bill and threw it into the sack. And then as I turned around, God says, "Your shoe." Now, shoes are very important for me. Never step on my shoes. Shoes are extremely precious. My wife will tell you, when I travel, I buy shoes from the different nations. Yeah. And God says, "Shoes." And in fact, just to let you know, a lot of the personal prophecies I receive has to do with shoes. So shoes are very important to me. And God says, "Shoes." I says, "Okay." I took out my shoe. As I was about to throw the shoe into the sack, God said, "No, I'm not interested in your shoes. I'm interested in what is inside the shoes." You see, sometimes I go to countries where there are lots of bandits. I distribute the dollars everywhere. So if you rob me of my wallet, I still have my dough to take me somewhere. And God says, and so, yeah, I pull out the 100 US dollar bill, put it in. Listen, God knows, God reads your emails. I went back to my seat, and as I went back to my seat, God says, "Open your wallet." I said, "I got nothing in the wallet." God says, "Open your wallet." And when I opened my wallet, the US dollars were there. I took out my shoes and the US dollars were there. I put my hands into my pocket, the US dollars were there. You see, I shifted into the fulfillment of God's miracles for my life. Now, in case some of you smart Alex are sitting out there and say, you know what? Pastor Dom is a great evangelist, and evangelists stretch the story, isn't it? Yeah, some of you, yeah, I know. There are some of you cynical folks out there. So I was sharing with my wife and my kids about this. And years later, so this was an experience in the early 90s. So now, this is 2017 in Singapore. I've shared this story with my kids, with my wife, 2017, 6 years ago. We were hosting the World Assemblies of God Congress, like what we just did in Spain, just a couple of weeks ago, where I got elected. So it was done in Singapore. We were in a hotel. My wife and I were staying in a hotel with all the speakers, waiting for my daughter and my son to come to the hotel so that we could go eat. They were late. You see, to be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. But this one is late. So they came late, and I was a little, you know, hungry man, angry man. So I responded to the door, and I said, well, you guys are late. And then my daughter said to me, Dad, we are late because we are looking for the Rolex watch that you saved and you bought for me for my graduation. I said, what happened to it? Well, I was practicing for the dance number for the opening scene. And then when I went back to my bag, it's gone. And then I said, so what do you do? So she said, yeah, we searched for it in church. We searched the wallets, my bag. And then my son was there. Yeah, Dad, I helped her search. And then we went to the car. We searched the car. They didn't even come into the hotel room. I said, okay, we need to go eat first. Yeah. In my mind, we need to just eat, you know, meet the physical need, and then let's deal with the rest. So we went out to eat, and my daughter had no mood to eat. Chin Yin was telling her she didn't want to eat. She was depressed. And I shared this story again, and my son looked at me like, yeah, you know. And I said, you know, you guys just need to have faith, shift. And so they ate, and then we were now walking back to the hotel. I said, let me forget about it. Let's go back to the room. I walked fast, and so I was walking ahead of them down the corridor of the hotel room. And as we came to my hotel room, I opened the door, and the Rolex watch was 3 meters just inside the hotel room. It was nicely placed, by the way. You see, when you drop your watch, it doesn't fall nicely, but this is just placed nicely. And I shouted down the corridor, come here! And they all came and they stood there and they were stunned. How did that happen? Then I said to my daughter, I said, if you had dropped it in the, you know, at the threshold of the door and all that, the maid would have taken it and would have placed it on a table. But this is placed on the floor. You see, there are realities in life, but you're going to step into fulfillment today. You're going to learn to be like the disciples who finally understood the truth when Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. Even when you feel like you are not able to, when you shift into the supernatural, you shift into God's fulfillment for your life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I want to close this morning. You know, I have 4 points, but it's okay. I reckon this is the most important point for you guys this morning then. There are some of you sitting here in this room, and you've been operating in the natural. Whenever the pastor says, we're going to do this, some of you say, oh, no, it cannot be done. Or maybe the Lord tells you to go pray for somebody. You say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. There's something that God is wanting to shift you into, but you have resisted because you are still captivated, caged by the natural laws, and you have never transited from the natural into the supernatural. And I want to say this to you this morning. When you shift, you will step into fulfillment. That will be the beginning of the rest of your life. Because this morning, as I was coming here, I asked God to do something new in your life. I asked God to do something powerful in your life. Can the worship team comes right now? Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I know, Lord, that you have something powerful for them. That you have a destiny awaiting each and every one of them. But Father, sometimes they are locked by the cycle of their past. Sometimes they are caged by the experiences of the past. Sometimes, Lord, they have been exposed by the things of the past that have impacted them emotionally, spiritually, that have caused a hindrance that they have never accessed their destiny. And this morning, Spirit of God, we teeter right now on the brinks of destiny. And I pray, God, in the next few moments, that you will shift them. Teach them to access the supernatural laws today. That we need to learn that you are present. You are always present. You are always present. Even if it's a remote place, you are there. Even if it is late, Lord, you are still there. And when you are there, it is never a remote place. It will become a refreshing place. And Lord, when you are there, it is never lateness, but it's always on time. And so, Father, let the miracles of God happen right this moment in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to teach you a new song. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life, oh Lord. And if you want God to do something new in your life, I'm going to ask you to shift from where you are and come to this place of prayer so that we can pray for you. If you've been locked by a past, if you are looking at the world from the crevices of your past, from the realities of what you are going through, then friends, listen, God wants you today to step forward into the miracles, the blessings, and the fulfillment that He has for you. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.